Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Motene. It's our Thursday edition of Point of View. That means just after 9 o'clock, we let our head down. And so that's what we're going to do today. Leroy obviously is in to tell us what to watch over the weekend. And then we have RJ Benjamin. So RJ Benjamin is in for our musical doctor. So we'll have that conversation with RJ Benjamin. We're talking about longevity in the music industry. So stay tuned for that. Look, lots coming up on the show. We obviously have been watching the Stilfontein story develop. There has been a briefing by the police just to give us an update on how all of that has ended and their position on the developments there. Acting Northwest Police Commissioner is going to be having a conversation with us in a moment. And then we're going to speak to Mpumelelo Zikalala. We're back to that tribunal that's underway right now, JP Tribunal. Where there is a sexual harassment accusation by the Secretary of the High Court. And so there are a few things that are propping up that I think are important to highlight and to reflect on. We're going to be speaking also to the members of Basadi Bamolao, and they really want to highlight a few things around specifically cases that involved sexual harassment. If you've been watching this particular tribunal, very, very interesting how things have developed. And in fact, I think public opinion has changed over the past couple of days. And many things I've been hearing, a lot of, interest groups to speak about how they feel the witness has been characterized by people who are onlookers and so on. So we'll hear another side of how, Basadi Bamolao see and view the way the proceedings are going. And particularly they want to highlight the issue of women and gender in the sector. So that's what we're going to be looking at. NSFAS is said to be owing 44 million rand to owners of accommodation. And we're going to be having a conversation with them. Outa, it says it's a crisis looming. And if they don't pay up, the owners of the accommodation are saying, well, what they may do in 2 weeks' time is just not let the students back in. And that's quite a serious thing. So we'll have a conversation. We'll give them a right of reply, NSFAS themselves, in Ismail Muniz, to just give us a sense of what's going on there. And then we'll just really get out to outline what the problem is there. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing in the next couple of minutes. So let's go there. The police held a briefing today just to give us an update on the situation at Stilfontein. Acting Northwest Police Commissioner General Patrick Asaneng is on the line with us. A very good evening. Thank you very much for making time for us this evening.
Good evening to you and to your listeners.
Can we just maybe get an update from you with all that's happened in the past, I suppose, 7 days? Lots of reports about a kingpin that was no longer in your custody. You held a briefing just to give an update on what is actually happening at the site at the moment. Give us your take for those who are not listening to the briefing. What's the situation currently as we speak at the site at Stilfontein Mine?
Currently, what is happening, particularly at shaft number 11, is that there are no any illegal mining activities that are continuing. However, the police are still on site as part and parcel of Operation Valam Koti. What we are still waiting for is to do the formal handing over, or to hand back the site to the lawful mine operator, Buffalo's Gold. And then from there, they will have to engage with the Department of Minerals and Energy on the way forward on what has to be done as per their legal requirements.
So if I understand you, Major General, what you're saying is that you currently are the custodians of the mine security, and at some point you will hand the mine back to its owners?
That's not putting it correctly, maybe, mm-hmm. to say we are the custodian of the mine security. Mm-hmm. You must remember that shaft, actually, it's a crime scene. Mm. Because crime was committed there,
yeah,
in the main illegal mining, mm-hmm, as well as those people who were committing this in the main way from outside the borders of the Republic of South Africa, mm-hmm, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, and one or two from Malawi and the Congo. So the reason for the police to be on site, mm, is to enforce, prevent, and combat crime, not necessarily to substitute mine security. Mm. What I can say is that it is clear from what has been happening in the past that shaft was not properly secured. Mm. It was not properly rehabilitated. Hence, so many illegal miners could have easy access and to continue undisturbed with their criminal activities.
You make the point that, you know, currently there is no activity going on, no illegal mining happening there. So when will you hand over the mine?
It is a process. Once we have satisfied ourselves that everything that needs to be done from a law enforcement point of view, we will engage. You must remember that this operation was a multidisciplinary operation led by the police. Other relevant stakeholders in this regard were the Department of Home Affairs, that deals mainly with immigration-related matters. DMRE, who are the custodian of mining, were also part and parcel of the operation. So once the police have done what they are required to do in terms of the law, then they will hand over the site to DMRE, who then will engage the mine company in terms of what needs to be done next.
Can we maybe also just get clarity on the so-called kingpin that was one of the people that you had initially nabbed, I think his name is James Neo Swedi, Tiger. What's the status of that particular individual?
We are using the word kingpin, mm, in a particular context,
mm,
and it should not be taken out of context, because kingpin, there are various levels of kingpins.
Mm-hmm.
This particular individual, from the statements that we have obtained from other illegal miners that were with them underground, mm-hmm, he and his compatriots were identified by some illegal miners as people who have been controlling operations underground,
mm-hmm,
torturing and assaulting other illegal miners, including keeping food to themselves instead of giving food to the other illegal miners. So that is why him and the other three who are still in custody were identified to be charged separately in terms of them being the ringleaders. But in addition to that, they were also responsible for the illegal mining and also recruiting others to come and work underground illegally.
All right. So what's his status currently?
We are still looking for him. Working with the regional policing agency as well as our counterparts in Lesotho. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have evidence that he is back in Lesotho. We have looked at all the possible addresses around Stilfontein, Klerksdorp, where we suspected him to be. He could be anywhere in South Africa, including the Free State, because what we have picked up through intelligence is that these illegal miners are operating across these provinces, particularly Free State, Gauteng, and Northwest,
mm,
in these gold mines.
So when was the last time he was in the custody of the police?
He was last in our custody on the 15th, when he, together with other illegal miners, emerged. And that was just before the termination of the rescue operation.
Mm.
So he was basically among the last batch to resurface.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to tell us, you know, because obviously he's no longer in your custody, have you now completely identified when he went missing?
We only became aware 2 days as per the legal requirements when he was supposed to be charged so that he could appear before the court, because our Criminal Procedure Act requires that people who are in police custody should, within a period of 48 hours, appear before court. That's when we realized that actually he was not there. And our suspicion and the conclusion that we made was that he was in police custody because immediately when he emerged underground, that's when he was pointed out by others. Therefore, it became clear to us that those who were supposed to transport and bring him to the police station did not do that because he was not reflected in our registers.
And so is there an investigation currently underway of the members of the police who were transporting him or were supposed to be, I suppose, documenting him as he went into the police cells?
Yes, we are conducting parallel investigation, criminal as well as internal disciplinary investigation, because what has happened internally, it's a dereliction of duty, but members did not comply with not only the code of conduct, but with what is expected from them, because we want to have ethical members who are, you know, doing their work, who cannot be corrupted. But criminally, we will also make sure that once we have completed our investigation, those that are responsible, including him, are brought before the courts.
I suppose it's not difficult to figure out who. You may not know exactly which one of the group that was responsible for transporting him and so on and charging him. But are those suspended? What's the process internally?
No, you should understand that before you could even suspend people, you need to conclude your investigation, do everything according to what the law requires. Mm. So we are not going to, in the press of trying to, you know, maybe save face, rush to do certain things that may also blow into our faces. We will take it step by step, gather evidence that cannot be challenged, and make sure that whatever step that we take, we are doing that within the confines of the law.
Are you confident that you'll nab him again?
We are definitely confident that we will find him. It doesn't matter how long it takes. We know, and he now, wherever he is, aware that he is a wanted fugitive. So he will try to hide. But we will use every available resource and expertise. We are confident he can't hide forever. We will find in this space where we are operating, if there's one thing we have learned, to be patient, we have learned to be meticulous in whatever that we do. We will find him.
Acting Northwest Police Commissioner, thank you so much for your time, Major General Patrick Asane.
You missed it live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.